Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We have just concluded going through, or almost, I'm going to do the conclusion shortly after the obligatories, but we've basically concluded the process and the argument for Republic Review, which basically means that we've kind of covered everything that we need to cover, unless you've got any questions. But for the most part, let's go through the obligatories, and then we'll kind of create this conclusion. We will be updating, because, you know, we need to do that from time to time, at least I do, because I realize that as I've kind of articulated the process, sometimes there, you know, it makes complete sense to me, but when other people read it, it just doesn't make this, it doesn't have the same clarity. How about that? This show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org. As you also know, this show is the only show. We are not, I am not, and I don't plan to ever be a professional entertainer. I'm not here to just go through the news and give you commentary regarding, you know, what's going on in the world. I am here to try to help you understand that we are so far outside the boundaries of the Constitution. If you love liberty, if you love our Constitution, and if you want to see this nation saved, we have to restore our hybrid constitutional republic. Hybrid, why? Because we have a very limited federal government, so it's a very limited federation, and we have almost an unlimited confederation. We have both a confederation and a federation in this divinely inspired, there we go, in a divinely inspired republic. Now, one of the things I just started promoting, and we're going to do some promos, and we're going to start, actually what I'm going to start doing is I'm going to start doing 30-second promos instead of one-minute promos. That way we can kind of get a little bit more done and actually reduce some of the promo time down to maybe a minute and a half, 1 minute, or what have you, and still be able to get, you know, very succinct, concise messages out. Timber Nation, if you are looking for some quality furnishings for your audio equipment, for your den, your study, what have you, go check them out, timbernation.com. Red Pill Expo is around the corner. Red Pill Expo will be at Lafayette, Louisiana, and that's going to be the first weekend, I believe. If you actually go to redpillexpo.org, or if you go to the web page, forgive me. It's just a matter of getting the right amount of oxygen into my head here. So, anywho, if you go to Red Pill Expo online, you'll actually be able to see the costs, locations, venue, and so forth. That information is coming forward. And, as a matter of fact, we also have a big opportunity coming up in Wyoming in the month of November as well. We'll tell you more about that as that starts to pan out. What we want to do is we want to ask you to start getting more involved. We're losing time. And we've got the 2020 election coming up around the corner. So we need to get everybody engaged as fast as we possibly can. So with that, let me just go ahead and dive into the conclusion, because there's been a lot of things that have happened, and I will give you my two cents on this, and I'm going to tell you that if you do not understand the urgency of stepping in and actually taking control of this republic, you should start understanding it, because what we have as a president and what we have as leaders in this nation is pathetic, absolutely pathetic. So, if you look at what we kind of covered and what we went through, the argument really stands by itself from what Madison and Jefferson did and asserted. In other words, if you look at Madison basically calling out the states as being duty-bound to interpose and arrest the evil of the violations of the federal government over the state's compact, then it's very, very clear that we have to get our states involved. The argument, again, it's not my argument. This is Madison's argument. I want you to understand that. And so when we get into his resolution, I mean, he covers this, you know, very clearly in his report. And actually, he goes through it in a painstaking way in his notes on nullification. But he actually comes right out and basically calls for, in resolution number 3, he calls for the states who are the parties thereto, who have the right, are duty-bound. That's where you'll find that, right there in the Virginia resolution. And when he calls it parties, he's not calling it as, you know, individual parties, but he's calling it as a collective party, because the powers granted and the powers delegated to the federal government are just that. They're delegated and or granted from the parties, not each state individually. So this is where, when we look at the importance of whatever, you know, whatever is constitutional, whatever is supposed to be done, or however things are to be interpreted, that's probably the best way to put it. However things are to be interpreted, it is based upon the states. Why? Because the states are the ones that actually have the final say over what is to be done and what isn't to be done. And as a matter of fact, he comes right out and says that the states themselves, where there's no other resort to determining what can be done or what is constitutional, then the states are the ultimate and final tribunal over that. This is why I tell people, when, you know, they go, well, what about the Supreme Court? You know, what about these rulings and precedents or what have you? Madison just destroys that argument, because he says the Supreme Court is equally culpable because they're a component. Their grants come from the federal government, or not from the federal government. Their grants come from the states, just like the rest of the federal government. And so what really matters is how the states interpret what is constitutional, what isn't constitutional, because their interpretation overrules the federal government. Now, this is why we talk about definitizing the Constitution. This is why I go into this new bent, and it's become a real driving factor. This is why we're trying to reach out to organizations. And I got to say, I'm getting a little disappointed by some organizations that they're not understanding this importance. And so I'm going to be reaching out again to some of these other organizations. And I have to tell you, you know, if we can't start uniting on agreeing that definitizing, canonizing, whatever you want to call it, the Constitution, and having the states do this, then I don't know. I mean, are we that divided? Are there organizations that are so caught up in their self-relevance that they're willing to watch this nation just crumble away? This is a real indictment on people who claim, people who are out there puffing their chest out and pounding on their chest saying, we are the champions of the Constitution. And actually, they're the ones that have the greatest, what's the best way to say this? They have the most blood on their hands. They're the ones that are more responsible for allowing things to go the way they're going. They're the ones that we should be blaming. Maybe that's the best way to put it. Bottom line, we have to start getting the states to assert their authority. And actually, we need to get the states working together to start clarifying and defining what is constitutional. Because when people come along and they say, well, you know, the court interprets the Constitution, it doesn't matter how the court, it matters how the states interpret that Constitution. And what's really important is that they're interpreting it based on how it was understood at the time of ratification. This is why Madison's letter to John G. Jackson was so critical. And as a matter of fact, maybe I ought to go through that now as a part of this conclusion. But as we really conclude this whole concept of Republic Review, and the last few words that I would have to say is placing context to the relationship of the states to the general government, because the states are the parents and the general government is the child. The calling for the process of Republic Review is getting the parents to unite and have the adult conversation about their child and addressing its out-of-control behavior. That's what we have to do. So, as we also want to make sure we cover one more thing, and do I have the time here? I think I do. Yes, I got less than a minute, but I want to make sure that we covered every clarity regarding the Convention of States and Republic Review. I want to make sure you understood that Republic Review is no way, there's no association to a convention for the Constitution, for rewriting, amending, or anything like that. The whole point is enforcement of the compact. We do not have a problem with the Constitution. The Constitution is not the problem. There is no need for a convention whatsoever. The problem is the federal government, and the problem is the paradigm of the people in thinking the federal government can be whatever it wants to be, and it can't. It can only be what the states allow it and tell it to be. The problem is that the federal government has gotten itself in a position where it has basically coerced by using money and other things in getting the states to allow it to do whatever it wants, as long as it's paying and putting money in the troughs of those who are seeking some little pools of power. We'll be right back after these two promos.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so I know that everybody's kind of been chomping at the bit that regarding what's going on in the news, and and I myself have been chomping at the bit regarding this whole Afghanistan crap. And as a matter of fact, you know, having a little bit of military experience, serving 20 years in the Marine Corps on the enlisted side, I was not a politician. And as a matter of fact, there's very few officers that really deserve respect, because most of these guys that I've worked with and met over time, I started realizing that they were real, especially towards the very end, the officers that were obtaining the rank and moving up, and sometimes at a very fast clip, watching a colonel go to a three-star general in a matter of what, just 5 years, maybe? Anyway, watching things like that happen, there's no doubt in my mind that there's way too many politicians. They shouldn't be any politicians in uniform, but that's what we have. The officer ranks are nothing but hacks. They're politicians, they're shills to do whatever they need to do. And as a matter of fact, too many of these guys are collectivist communists. And they're absolutely okay as long as they can do what they do, killing people or fighting wars, wearing a uniform, and getting people to believe that, you know, that what they need to do, what they want to do, is what we need to do. Now, this critical race theory, I already ranted on that. And as a matter of fact, one of the things I, you know, kind of came up with on this critical race theory is, you know, if that, I forget the general's name, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, because I'm really bad with names, and the lack of oxygen doesn't help, but if the chief or if the chief of staff is in a position where he really believes whiteness is a problem, then maybe what he should do is maybe he should actually remove him and all white officers out of the ranks of the military. Just demote them, you know, get them out of leadership positions and make it so that they can't be leaders anymore. Because if you really believe that crap, that guy doesn't even deserve to be a leader because he's not leading. We lead on what is the cognitive, what is the logical process, what is the logical decisions, what are the facts. And instead, he's leading, he's managing an agenda. The critical race theory is strictly an agenda. It's not leading. It's not uniting people. It's dividing people. And this is how we can start seeing just how bad and how corrupt our military system is. And the real indictment really comes, and as far as I'm concerned, look at what has happened in Afghanistan in this context. If there was a person of real leadership and integrity in that Joint Chiefs of Staff, in the armed services across the board, from the Commandant of the Marine Corps, the Chief of Naval Operations, whatever those positions are, the elite, the cream of the crop, these leaders in uniform with all of these shiny stars on their shoulders and sleeves, if they truly had any honor and integrity, they would have stood up and said, what you're asking us to do is not plausible. To cut and run is not plausible. And if that's what you want, then I resign. And the entire Joint Chiefs of Staff should have been depopulated and forced Biden to find somebody else to replace them. These men should have stood up and should have drawn the line and said, there's no way we're putting our lives or our troops' lives or our soldiers, our Marines, our airmen's lives at risk, or American lives at risk. We have this obligation. The intelligence community, as far as I'm concerned, the leaders of the intelligence community that failed to define the threat and failed, I mean, come on. Really? There's a lot of blood on people's hands because anything that happens from this point on out and all those who have died from this capitulation of Afghanistan, the blame goes square on all of these guys, all of them, as well as Biden. Biden gets all of it as well because... If you want to understand the importance of who you select as the commander-in-chief, you got to look at the responsibilities. This goes back to the conversation I had with, I call him a childhood friend, but it's more of like a lifelong relationship with an idiot, somebody that just, you know, you argue with and you argue with and you argue with, and you go, what does it take to get these people to understand? And in this context, we had this conversation. It was well after the election where he was proud that he didn't vote for Trump again. And I'm going, are you kidding me? And so he cannot. He has no room. Anybody that voted for Biden has no room to complain about any of the lives. And as a matter of fact, I believe most of the people that voted for Biden, they don't care about the lives in Afghanistan. They only care about the Taliban taking power and sticking it to the U.S. because they don't care about the Constitution. They don't care about liberty. They care about an agenda. They care about what they believe is the most important thing, is having government make the decisions to control people, because people just don't know better. Only government knows what is more important and what we need to do, and empowering government to do those things. You got to remember, the leftist ideology is just that. They believe that people should not have the ability to make mistakes and make their own choices, that they need to be taken care of, and government will take care of them. These people are, I hate to say it, but the people that go that far to the left, that far into subjugation and compulsion, that we this is what we have to have, those people that go down that path, I hate to say it, but I don't know if there's any way to reach them and any way to actually get them into, you know, a reasonable dialogue, or ever get them into a safe way of living with them. In other words, these people will do anything necessary. Remember, the ends justify the means in their paradigm. I don't think we can ever safely live with them. There's been talk and there's been dialogue. I have said this for years, that we need to re-examine the Tory Acts and start deporting people. We need to start doing this as, you know, as soon as we take this country back. We need to deport all of these people who have been deliberate and I don't want to say deliberate. There are people that have just, they've not even challenged. You know, it's just that they're doing what they're told, and they don't even have any reservations of, is this something we should be able to do, or is this something that we, you know, have the power or the right to do? They just do what they're told. This is what you're going to do. This is how you're going to do it. Those people don't deserve, if you're not questioning what you're doing and you're not looking over your shoulder and saying, do we have the power to do this? Then as far as I'm concerned, you're not a leader. Because a leader should always be looking and ensuring that they are on the highest ground they possibly can be on the issue. And in the United States, in our Constitutional Republic, if you're not in accordance with, and if you're not in harmony with our Constitution and our fundamental principles of individual liberty, individual sovereignty, then as far as I'm concerned, you are not somebody that should be trusted in a leadership position, whether it be politics, military, or what have you. But I'm just absolutely ashamed. I'm ashamed of these military officers, these military planners, these intelligence leaders who, you know, the truth may come out that some of these people actually behind doors, but not one person is willing to throw the knife at Biden. Biden doesn't remember this, or they're doing as much damage control as they possibly can. And as far as I'm concerned, we have to draw the line, and we have to start recognizing, if you're not teaching your kids, and if you're not starting to have the conversation of how important it is in choosing a commander-in-chief, what is their primary, what is the most important thing that a commander-in-chief does? Foreign relations and commander-in-chief. Those are the two primary things that really fall onto the President of the United States' shoulders. And Biden has been a fool. He is only doing what he was told and what he's been put in place to do, and that is putting America into a position where we capitulate financially, morally, and all of these other things. This is why you've heard me say, and maybe the Secret Service are probably going, who is this guy? I believe that he has committed treason. There's no doubt in my mind Bill Clinton has committed treason. And if you think that I'm, you know, making just a passionate, you know, hot-headed type of assertion, go to my Red State Talk Radio podcast page on Reclaiming the Republic. Towards the very, very bottom, there's a link that will take you to the congressional testimony. Winterm and Curry provided a timeline. These are two reporters from what? Not Fox News, from MSNBC. Two reporters from MSNBC in 1996 that identified how Clinton was taking money from China and giving China and giving them our most sensitive secrets of missile guidance and so forth, you know, from nuclear power and the nuclear fission and all of that. If you look at what Bill Clinton did, this guy should be tried, and he should be tried for treason against all of these things. And there's no doubt in my mind he would be dancing at the end of a rope. Biden the same way, most Obama will be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me just kind of use the rest of the day to kind of cover a few stories that have kind of percolated that have at least hit the need-to-know news, because every once in a while, I just think it's really important to pull in G. Edward Griffin's need-to-know news. Have you signed up for it? Do you go to his webpage and kind of look at some of the stories that even OAN, One Network News, ONA, or whatever, if you go to Need to Know News and sign up, you'll actually get the newsletters. But my point is that G. Edward Griffin covers the stories that a lot of organizations don't. Now, one of the things that he's covered, and I just, you know, I'm not even going to get into the details of this, because you hear about this in the news, right? Restaurants and gyms and those types of services in New York City are now basically suing the mayor because of these required mandates of vaccinations. In other words, they're actually suing. But I believe, and so the whole point is, if you hadn't heard, they're actually making it so that you have to prove that you're vaccinated. This is already all over social media, so I don't think I have to go into the details on this. Here you go. I believe that there are people that, you know, were planning on coming to New York, and because of these vaccinations, and they can't, because they're not going to do that. You got to understand there's a reciprocity If you have a right to travel in your state, the liberties and freedoms that you enjoy in your state are reciprocal. If you're not a New York citizen, the state of New York, and you go to New York City and you want to actually go into a restaurant, all you have to do is prove that you're not a citizen of that state and you're not held to that mandate. Oh, and I'm telling you, what should happen is instead of just these gyms and these restaurants and so forth suing the mayor, I think people that were planning on going to New York on vacation should be suing the mayor, basically saying, you know, suing for damages for not being able to fly there because they were planning on taking a vacation there. And I believe that you could create a class action lawsuit on all the different tourists that wanted to go to New York, but because he wanted to create unconstitutional laws and deny you your freedom of being able to commit in commerce and travel and so forth. This actually is, and I'm not an advocate for going into court, but I'm just saying that if you want to create a class action lawsuit, here you go right here. Now, more importantly, in the constitutional perspective on creating laws against people from being able to, you know, go anywhere or do anything without a vaccination card, that's the same thing as a bill of attainder. When we start looking at them creating laws that say, if you don't have what, you know, if you don't do what we ask you to do, then we're going to punish you. They cannot compel you to take the poke. They cannot compel you to be vaccinated and then punish you because you don't. As a matter of fact, you have a right to basically accept the risks. You have a right to do that. But once you're infected, once you have become infected by a disease, whatever it is, the state does have the right to protect the citizens from you. And so what they could have been doing is, this is what I wrote in my article, they do have the power to protect their citizens. They can't just, you know, create a blanket protection and say, we're locking you all down to protect you. They can't do that. But they can basically go after and trace down, you know, all the exposures and make sure that everybody is being either self-quarantined or quarantining them so that they can't go, you know, to the grocery store and infect people. Because they do have, government's primary two objects are, it's just this simple, to protect life and property. And so they do have the ability to create regulations and or laws to say, if you're sick and you're affected by, you know, a communicable disease, especially a virus that is, you know, can be transferred to other people in a, you know, in a common setting, then the point is that they can protect those people by saying, you can't go to work, you can't do this if you are infected. And if you do, we will come after you, because it's the same thing as driving a car knowing that it doesn't have brakes, or driving, you know, knowing that something bad can happen. Now, I do understand that there are these situations where asymptomatic person, you know, they can actually have COVID, not understand or have that. What the state should be doing is they should be trying to do everything they can to identify how to test. I mean, they have breathalyzers for, you know, for vehicles, or for, I should say, for people who want to know, hey, I don't want to be driving drunk. They've been able to create all sorts of guides and help and assistance in us trying to do the right thing. Well, why aren't they working on that instead of trying to be the bully with jackbooted thugs going around enforcing these despotic laws? Why? Well, it's because it's all about control and force. And that's, I think, what everybody's starting to realize. I'm not sure if you heard, but the union, the teachers union in Virginia, fifth grade teacher Laura Morris resigned in front of you. This probably hit the news. She resigned in front of the Loudoun County School Board in reaction to its Marxist ideology. Loudoun County Public Schools has partnered with the Southern Poverty Law Center, the SPLC, to design a curriculum that promotes critical race theory, transgender rights, and anti-Christian biases. How did these people get in charge of these schools? Come on, folks. You know, this. I used to say this, and I said this on my radio show a long time ago. You know, when you look into a crowd, next time you look at a large body of people and you see a picture of all sorts of, you know, people from races, it doesn't matter, a big, huge crowd, point out in that crowd, point out which of those people were born to homosexual couples. In other words, they're the byproduct of two men or two women. In other words, the splicing of two eggs, the splicing of two, and you get it, right? So when we start looking at the crowd and you go, okay, since everybody is a byproduct of heterosexuality, how is it that the homosexuals and the deviants have been able to seize control of our curriculum and in educating and the narrative over humanity in injecting their transgendered perversions and so forth? How is it that we've gotten into this position? Have we forgotten where we've came from? There is yet to be a society or even a clump of people that have been byproducts of, again, two women and or two men or what have you. Now, I would just love to see, you know, these elitists go out and actually hire, you know, scientists to start splicing their genes so all of Soros's children come from him. And because they may have the technology, but it would just prove how perverse that mind model is. Because you know as well as I do that things always don't go as expected when you start experimenting biologically and what have you. And I think the it would be repulsive, it would be just absolutely inhumane and gross. And what would end up happening is people would be, their stomachs would turn if we really started watching and seeing the outcome of these types of scientific experiments and go, why are we even playing in this when we've got a system that's been working for thousands and thousands of years? What the heck are we doing? Anyway, Laura Morris, basically, she took a stand and basically refused to actually do anything, you know, that they wanted to do, and she basically walked away. And I think this is great. But the problem is, when people actually walk out, she shouldn't have resigned. She should have forced them to, you know, to engage her. She should have stayed in the fight. This is why I'm not a fan of nullification either. I'm not a fan, and I really look at the sovereign citizen movement as a real threat. When we have people that recognize the government is overreaching and they just check out and say, hey, it's all up to you now. I'm no longer a part of the system. What? We need everybody engaged in this fight. We need everybody to be a militiaman. This is why, in our next episode, we're going to get back to what does it take to get in, you know, to create a local movement for you to actually start moving the Constitution in your county and creating a constitutional county. I know that there's all sorts of information we need to go through, and what we want to do is we kind of want to cover, and I'm hoping that I might be able to, over the course of the next 6 months to a year, provide enough details regarding each of the roles that we can actually give you, kind of like the recipe and the, you know, the instructions of how each of these positions need to be filled, what they need to do, so that you can start functioning and moving yourself towards this. It's unfortunate that we've got a lot of people that are working, and again, it goes back to this divisive self-relevant and or self-interest organizations who are only teaching people what they want them to know to maintain their own relevance. And, you know, this kind of goes back to, I guess it's the free market. When we start looking at businesses, when we start looking at companies and how they, you know, they create this model of doing something and they copyright, they patent it so nobody else can do it. And I'm going, you know, if we need to do something, God forbid the people that are trying to create patents on those types of things that are being restrained or kept so that we could save ourselves. Anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so there are so many different aspects that we could look at and talk about regarding Afghanistan. But one of the things I didn't bring up, because they're already starting to talk about this refugee crisis that's going to be coming out of Afghanistan. And why? Because of the Biden administration, even because of Trump and going all the way back to Bush going in there, that we did not have a plan in moving them into a self-governance type of system. The problem is that the Taliban has been, and you got to look at where they've been getting their support. Who has been supporting the Taliban? Where are they getting their weapons? Do we look back and we look during the Obama administration, we realize that NGOs under the CIA were responsible in arming the ISIS and allowing ISIS to form. Are we missing things? You know, we are a big part, and the globalists are a big part of the problem because they want these types of entities to exist. Because when all of a sudden, when they get their way and they say, okay, we're going to pull everybody together, they're going to stop supporting all of these other things. And they're going to say, well, look, you know, we were able to solve these problems. What do you mean? They were causing these problems to get the outcome that they were seeking. But let's just focus on the one little thing that everybody wants to, you know, focus on. And that is the problem that is poking them, or the discomfort that they're feeling and getting from these little issues, these ancillary issues, from the real problem. The real problem is we've got government that is doing things that it has, our government doing things it has no business doing, well outside the boundaries of the Constitution, and they've been selling us downriver for years and years regarding our energy strategy. The strategies that they have has nothing to do with what is best for our republic. Unfortunately, the United States strategies and energy and so forth has been really because of the globalists from Bush, George Bush Sr. on, and even before that, going all the way back to Wilson. It's all been trying to move us under a global governance regime. Anyway, so we've got these refugees. We're going to have a lot of refugees, and Europe is already clamoring, we do not want more. So they're already trying to say, you know, somewhere these people need to go somewhere else. Well, where else are they going to go but good old America? And they're saying that this coming refugee crisis will make the last one of 2015 and 2016. Remember, when Trump got elected, he kind of started stemming that. But I'm here to tell you that the refugee crisis will be one of those things that everybody is going to finally be consumed with, or there'll be those people that, because of it, it'll overconsume them. Anyway, bottom line, do not think that this is not a part of the plan. Displacing Mohammedans and putting them into Christian society is exactly what they want to do. They want to create contention. It's almost like, you know, putting a hostile person in your home. Why would you put up with somebody that is not a part of your family, that is absolutely hostile to your lifestyle and everything you're doing inside your house? Another study that J. Edward Griffin points out, that there's this new study that shows the decline in white population, and the Democrats are cheering. But how are we getting here? 40 million illegal invaders are here from our southern border. 40 million. If we enforced the laws of immigration and deported that 40 million, that would really tip the scales in the other direction, wouldn't it? Now, the real problem is that they're even focused on that instead of, you know, finding the commonalities and uniting people. They're using this whole anti-white mantra to divide us and try to destroy us. And again, the ends justify the means, because they don't care. It's sad, but that's the truth. They just don't care. Now, one of the things that I find is really interesting, and we've been hearing, and, you know, having, you know, a nurse in the family and so forth, and some doctors in the extended family, I'm going, isn't it interesting that we're not hearing in the news the real reporting regarding what's going on with vaccinations, deaths, and so forth? And as a matter of fact, I believe that J. Edward Griffin, he shows there was an Australian leader that developed some form of palsy right after he had been vaccinated, and it actually started surfacing while he was giving a press conference, his eyes and so forth. And this isn't funny, folks. This is a real sad thing, that people are being shills. Who are they being a shill for? They believe they're being a shill for, you know, this government movement or what have you. They're just, you know, taking it on the chin. People are dying, friends. And there's this huge underreporting of vaccine injuries and deaths, period. You know, Hank Aaron died shortly after he received the COVID vaccination. Data from several, and this is what J. Edward Griffin states, and this is his summary. Data from several reliable sources show the COVID vaccine injuries and deaths have been vastly underreported. Journalist Axel Brennison wrote on August 6th that the Moderna received 300,000 reports of adverse effects over a three-month period following the launch of its inoculation program. 300,000? But they don't care. You have to understand that the leaders of the world today believe we have too many people. The Georgia Guidestones clearly declare that the Earth can only sustain itself with 500 million people. Are you kidding? 500 million? That means 9+ some billion people, because we're pretty close to 10 going on 11 billion in the world. And they're saying that they have to kill about 9 billion plus? Really? My friends, when are we going to realize just how destructive, just how evil this leftist progressive campaign and program of policy is? The Bible tells us that 2/3 of the hosts of the world will be killed in these next few years. Now, I'm here to tell you, if we take a stand, I don't believe America will be adversely affected, because we'll be isolated. And we'll be isolated for some very, very good and specific reasons. Because the whole world is not going to want to do trade with us. Do we have the ability to arm ourselves? Do we have the ability to fight? Do we have the ability to feed ourselves? Yeah, absolutely. We have all the resources. The problem is our politicians and the strategic decisions they've been making have made us codependent on world economic products, food, and so forth. And I'm going, are you kidding? This is where we actually need to step back. We need to actually regroup as a constitutional republic and realize that we can no longer be doing business with hostile nations. And hostile nations, pretty much, is almost all of them. Even throughout Western society, there's very few that are out there that are that have leadership. I mean, they're all drinking the freaking Kool-Aid. Anyway, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. So actually what I may do this week when we get through the roles of an unorganized militia and how you need to organize your unorganized. I know that sounds like an oxymoron, but technically we have to organize our unorganized militia. We have to start moving our county to where a sheriff in the sheriffs of the county actually identify and call for and establish a militia for each county. Just so you understand, when they were ratifying the Constitution, they actually went through the makeup of the militia and how the counties had an apportionment based on the population and so forth. But anyway, the Department of Homeland Security has come right out and it's basically said anybody that becomes a critic of COVID restrictions or lockdowns or anybody that's a complainer or anybody that's talking about rights and constitutional rights over what government needs to do. In other words, criticizes government and stands up for the Constitution. Those people are and they're basically saying, they call them maybe terrorists, but I'm telling you, if they're using that words in the backroom meetings that they're having, they're not holding back. They're saying that the most dangerous people in our society today are these terrorists that believe in the Constitution and they don't believe in their government. This is why we're actually turning that corner. We're actually moving in that direction. And we have to win the dialogue, because if the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and if it's the Constitution and the states that empower our this government that has been insatiable in taking our liberties, then friends, we absolutely have to take a stand. And the only place to do that is in your state governments. You need to get your states to start protecting your constitutional rights, your rights of speech, your rights of conscience, and so forth. And this is one of the reasons why we're going to be exposing to you a Bill of Rights for the 21st century in the 2022 campaign. We're going to basically be calling it out as the way it should be, because every state should adopt the Bill of Rights of the U.S. Constitution and make a few minor changes. The Establishment Clause gets pulled out, and the freedom of the press gets pulled out. States need to regulate the press, and it's only been proven that there has to be some level of restrictions, not on the press itself, but on the platforms. The platforms where they control the narrative, where they do censoring and filtering and those types of things. Anyway, there has been this financial plan, and I want to go through this real quick. George Gammon explains how globalists plan to take your home. And, we ran out of time. So I will get back to this story and a few more need-to-know news stories when we finish going through the makeup and layout of a constitutional county and how you can start getting organized. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.